Part 4, Chapter 8. The following day, Turl was again a blur of activity. He was getting ready for another interview with Numph. He rushed about doing mutiny interviews, recording each one on a type of tape that could be cut and spliced. It was a very artful task, requiring the greatest care. He approached numbers of employees on the job, inside the compound and out. The interviews went very smoothly and rapidly. Turl would ask,
"What company regulations do you know concerning mutiny?"
The employees, sometimes startled, always suspicious, would quote what they knew or thought they knew concerning mutiny. The security chief would then request,
"In your own words, tell me your opinion of mutiny."
The employees would of course get long-winded and reassuring. Mutiny is a very bad thing. Executives would cause vaporizations wholesale, and no one would be safe. I sure never intend to advocate or take part in any mutiny. The interviews went on and on through the day. Turl rushing about, mask on outside, mask off inside. Recording, recording, recording. He always wound up an interview shaking his head and smiling and saying it was just routine and they knew how it was with management being what it was, and he, Turl, was on the employee's side. But he left a bit of worry in his wake. Employees vowing to themselves to have nothing whatever to do with any mutiny, pay cut or no pay cut. From time to time, passing through his office, Turl would look at the image of the cage where the high-button cameras still performed their guard duty. Curiosity and a vague unease made him keep checking. The animal seemed very industrious. It had been up with first light. It had worked and worked, scraping the bear hide clean, and had taken old ashes and worked them into it. The hide was now hanging, pinned to the bars. Then the fire had been built up and an odd network of branches, sort of racks, had been made around the fireplace. The beef was cut into long, thin strips and hung on the racks near the fire. Leaves from the chopped-up trees kept being put on the fire, creating a great deal of smoke, and the smoke was winding around the meat. Turl could not quite make out what the animal was really doing, but toward the end of the day, he thought he knew. The animal was observing some kind of religious ritual having to do with spring. He had read something about this in the Chinko guidebooks. They had dances and other silly things. The smoke was supposed to carry the spirits of slain animals to the gods. Yesterday, they had certainly slain enough animals. The thought of it made Turl's back twinge. He had never believed any of these earth creatures could actually hurt a cyclo. But that grizzly bear had shaken his confidence slightly. It had been an awfully big bear. It weighed almost as much as Turl himself.